So what I'm going to do is just go through a few of those verses that we read at the beginning, the ones that relate to being a people of honor, which is our topic for this morning. So the first one is verse 3. By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to. Sorry, that's what I've just read. By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than he ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So what's he saying? He's saying don't over-honor yourself. Don't over-honor yourself. You need to honor others above yourself. But think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God's distributed to you. So don't over-honor yourself. Get God's perspective on yourself. Now, there's another side of this coin, which is we often under-honor ourselves. We often think of ourselves as being far worse than we are. We don't understand who we are in Christ. We think we're like worms. It's almost as if we'd never been saved, never received God's grace. But that's another topic. What we're saying this morning from verse 3 is don't over-honor yourself. Get God's realistic perspective on who you are. We're all God's workmanship, but we're all being worked on by God, aren't we? We're changing. We need to change. We need him to change us and knock the corners off us. So the question is, how's my walk with God going? How do I know how my walk with God is going? How do you know? Well, we ask him. We spend time with him every day. We spend time reading scripture. We spend time talking to him and asking him to show us these things. So going on, this section that's on the screen now is again about honoring each other, working together, living together. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Just think about that. We who are Christians, part of the body of Christ, belong to one another. And that means we have a responsibility one to another. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We're all different. We've all got different gifts. And I thank God that the whole world isn't like me. I can't imagine anything worse. There'll be lots of people who are thinking a lot about everything and chatting about things and saying, ooh, isn't that interesting? But there'd be no buildings, no roads, no electricity, no inventions of any sort, but just people being generally interested in stuff. And we'd all be living in caves. And if everyone was like me, we'd all forget each other's names. I don't think I've ever mentioned that before. I'm sure some of you have noticed. I'm not actually terribly good at remembering people's names. It's not because I don't honor you and don't love you. I'm just very, very bad at it. And you've no idea how I work at it, but I still forget people's names. So if I've forgotten your name ever, I apologize. It's because I am who I am. And I love the fact that I'm in a church where people accept me for who I am, not who they would like me to be. And isn't that true of all of you? You can all think about things that, let's say, are suboptimal in you, less than perfect. And I've mentioned a few about me. If you were all like me, you'd be quite interested in cooking, but you'd use every utensil in the kitchen and then get into trouble afterwards. Now, if you want to continue this conversation, just ask Viv. And, you know, what I'm not doing this to draw attention to myself, but these are things you could all stand up here and say similar things. Things about you that you know are okay, things that are good, but things that are not great. And we need each other, don't we? We need each other because we're all parts of the body and we're all different. I thank God that everybody in the church is not like me. Because, again, if you think of Paul's image of the body, we just have a head, no arms and no legs. It's no good having teachers if you haven't got pastors and evangelists and apostles and what's the other one? Evangelists, yes. It's just a head, useless. But heads, when you've got all the other parts of the body, are great because we make up a body together. I've only got one point of reference to what it's like being in a body of people other than a church, and that is orchestras. And the reason for that is before I became a Christian, and slightly after I became a Christian, I spent a lot of time playing in orchestras and managing orchestras. And when I was at university, I probably spent more time playing in and managing symphony orchestras and opera orchestras than I did studying law. That was a long time ago. But an orchestra is similar to a church superficially, in that it's a large group of people, all of whom have a function. And they're all quite different people. And you can characterize some of them. Some of the characteristics are true, like harpists are sort of ethereal and floaty and just visiting this planet. Brass players are, in my experience, almost without exception, yobbos. who drink too much beer and eat too much curry. And you can take the string section, and they're all different. You get everything from the aesthetes and the intellectuals to the yobbos. And they're all different. But thinking about it, I could go to an orchestra rehearsal, and I think, yeah, it's good to be here. These are my mates. I like some of them, I don't like others. But they're my mates. And you'd have fun together, you'd play concerts together, you'd organize stuff together. But I'll tell you something, I could meet some of those people now, and after 5 minutes, we'd have nothing to talk about. Because that bond of friendship and shared experience is nothing like the bond you get in a church. And those of you who've been in churches all your life, especially in churches where the Holy Spirit is moving, may not be able to relate to that, because maybe you've never been in that sort of setting that I've just described. Maybe you think it's normal to come to church and see all of the people here and feel a real bond that will actually never go away. And I didn't really experience that until Viv and I ended up taken by God to a little chapel which was beginning to grow and where the power of the Holy Spirit was bonding people together. And that for me, and I think for Viv as well, was a unique experience. We had never come across it before. And I remember sitting in those meetings with little groups of people and then bigger groups of people and feeling a real stirring of love that I'd never experienced before. And most of you probably know that. Many of you will have experienced it all your lives and don't actually understand that it's actually quite different from what is out there in the world. So why am I saying all that? I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. Honor each other by using the gifts God has given you for the benefit of the body. So Paul's talking about the body. He's talking about our place in it. And he says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, etc., use the gifts God has given you. So honor each other by using the gifts God has given you for the benefit of the body. And I've said something a bit controversial on the slide. If you don't do that, you're robbing the body. Because if God has given you a gift and you're not using it to contribute to the body, then you're actually robbing the rest of the body. And I'm deliberately being a little bit controversial. Most of us are busy. We lead very busy lives. There's very little time. We can't do everything that we want to do. But there are people here, I believe, who know that you have a calling from God that is supposed to be used in the body of Christ. And life is drifting by. And you're maybe thinking, yeah, one day I'll use that gift. but maybe it's time to stop thinking about using it in the future and to accept Paul's calling to use it now. He says, if your gift is teaching, teach. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy. If it's serving, serve. If it's encouraging, give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. If you're one of those people and you know that God is calling you and you're thinking, one day I'll have time to do it, then stop thinking about one day and start thinking about now, because life is incredibly short. As I was talking about last time I preached, do you remember that illustration from John Piper about the couple who retired and spent the rest of their lives collecting shells? And then John Piper saying they turn up one day at heaven and say, oh Lord, look at my lovely collection of shells. Life goes past in an instant, and we must use the gifts that we've got to contribute to the body. That's part of being a people of honor. It's part of being a people who honor one another with what God has put in us. Romans 12:10, this is the verse we're looking at. Be devoted to one another in love. And then the half verse is actually the subject that I'm preaching on. Honor one another above yourselves. That's from the New International Version. So to go back to the paraphrase that I gave of the second half of that verse earlier, surpass, exceed, and outperform each other in showing respect, regard, and esteem for one another. So here's a summary so far. We're getting towards the end, you'll be pleased to know. We each need to think of ourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of us. And we need to ask, how am I doing in surpassing, exceeding, and outperforming others in showing respect, regard, and esteem for others in the body? It's a really big question, isn't it? How do I show esteem? How do I show honor to people? Well, I suppose one way to start is not to dishonor them, not to look down on them. And it's very easy, just because we're human beings, just because we live in the British culture, inadvertently to look down on people, because our society works like that. It was even worse in the Roman society that Paul was writing to, where there were strata in society, there were layers of society, and everybody knew exactly where they were. And it started off with patricians, the emperor at the top, then patricians, and a whole layers of different people, getting right down to the slaves at the bottom. Everybody knew where they were. In England, there used to be a very strict or clear class division. Some of you remember that sketch with John Cleese and Ronnie Barker and Ronnie Corbett. If you don't, I won't try and explain it. I look up at him because he's upper class. I look down on him because he's lower class, all that sort of thing. And yeah, a lot of it's gone, but it hasn't completely gone. Just look at all the fuss about which schools politicians went to and all the sniping about that. Class is alive and well, it's just different. And people look down on each other for other reasons, whether somebody is educated, whether they're intellectuals, not just the job they do, whether they're clever, the way they dress, all sorts of things. But in the body of Christ, we're not to be like that. We're to honor one another. Difficult topic, and I'll raise some questions for discussion in the growth groups. I think that's probably the best way to pursue that. There was a philosopher called Aristides. Aristides the Athenian. There were lots of philosophers called Aristides for some reason. But he wrote this to the Emperor Hadrian in about 125 AD. Describing the church in Athens. He said, they walk in all humility and kindness. Falsehood is not found among them, and they love one another. They do not despise the widow or grieve the orphan. He that has distributes liberally to him that has not. If they see a stranger, they bring him under their roof and rejoice over him as if he were their own brother. For they call themselves brothers, not after the flesh, but after the spirit and in God. When one of their poor passes away from the world and one of them sees him, he provides for his burial according to his ability. And if they hear that any of their number is imprisoned or oppressed for the name of their Messiah, all of them provide for his needs. And if it is possible that he may be delivered, they deliver him. And if there is among them any man who is poor and needy, and they have not an abundance of necessaries, they fast 2 or 3 days so that they may supply the needy with the food they need. Isn't that a great description of a church? People honouring one another. And Aristides gave another reason, another answer to our question, why honouring one another in the way Paul is talking about here is different from humanistic love and the preaching of wishy-washy liberals. And it's here in these words on the screen, for they call themselves brothers, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit and in God. Why do we love one another in that I'm not going to say superhuman, but it is superhuman in the literal sense. It's above humanity. It's because of the bond of the Spirit. The Spirit makes us see something in one another that we can't help loving, because the Spirit is in each of us, God loves each of us, and because the Spirit is in me, I love you, partly because the Spirit is in you. That's how this superhuman bond works. It's not a human thing at all. It's not being nice to one another. And then passage from Scripture here, Acts 4, 32 to 35, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. So there was love there, but it wasn't wishy-washy love. And during all this, the apostles were testifying to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And the grace of God was powerfully at work in them. It's a superhuman thing. It's because of the power of God. It's because of the power of divine love and the moving and working of the Spirit. And then Acts 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's all mixed up together there, isn't it? You've got a church that loves one another. You've got awe, signs and wonders, tremendous power of the Spirit. But the Lord was adding to their number daily those who are being saved. It's a growing church. It's an irresistible church. It's a church that's irresistible to heaven and a church that's irresistible to humanity. So we've talked about the early church of Acts. We've talked about the church at the time of Aristides, which is about 195 AD. So that raises the question in terms of honour. How are we doing at Aeolian Community Church? I'm not going to try to answer that question. But over the next few weeks, there'll be more on this topic in the preaching and more to discuss in the growth groups. So just to summarise everything before I finish. The irresistible church is the body of Christ. And it's based on his kingship, his lordship, the fact that the body is his body and we represent and reflect and demonstrate him. One of the necessary responses of the church to his kingship is to outdo one another in showing honour. And one of the things we need to discuss at growth groups is, how do we outdo each other? What does this competition actually consist of? How do we beat each other up spiritually in stumbling over each other to be the one that honours the most? And how do you do that without hurting people and actually being quite counterproductive? This is my paraphrase again. Surpass, exceed, and outperform each other in showing respect, regard, and esteem for one another. So a personal question. How am I doing? That's a question that each of us needs to ask ourselves. How am I doing in this? And then a question for all of us. How's Aylsham Community Church doing? And what do I need to change? Can we stand together, please?